The Censored TV Nation. As you may have noticed throughout this tape, getting the networks to carry much of what we do is no easy task. On one level, we are the antithesis of everything their corporate owners stand for. We believe a diversity of voices in the media strengthens the democracy. The corporations believe in eliminating diversity and having only a few companies control the media and the news it presents to the public. We believe that the real power in America rests with the moneyed interests, and that the 1% who control 50% of the country's wealth should be challenged every step of the way. They believe that the media should celebrate this wealth, that its critics should be silent, and that every 7 minutes a brand of beer or tortilla chip should be hawked to the unsuspecting consumer. We believe that humor is a powerful tool in illuminating the issues we care about. They just think we're funny, and mostly harmless. Because the bottom line and the desire for maximum profit reign supreme at the networks, as long as TV Nation sold its expected allotment of Doritos and Budweiser, we were allowed to do our show pretty much the way we wanted. So when people ask us, "How in the heck did you get that on the air?" our answer is, networks are not like us. They do not have feelings or politics. There is a bottom line. And our bottom line, within their desired demographic, was very, very good. Of course, there are exceptions to every rule, including this one. There are things we did on TV Nation that went beyond what the networks could take. When that happened, the strong arm of the censor came crashing down on us, and it was without pity or concern for our blathering about our First Amendment rights. Of the 105 segments we shot for TV Nation, only 5 were banned by the American networks. Those 5 ran on the BBC and in 20 different foreign countries. The season on NBC was actually the easiest for us. We got through the entire summer without a single completed story being killed. And those stories included our visit to the Mexican office of NBC's corporate parent, GE, and our attempts to bribe congressmen. In December, NBC asked us to do a year-end special. We jumped at the chance. Included in the show were the segments featuring the Corp Aid concert for Exxon, hiring a rent-a-cop for Clinton, and picking a new enemy for the United States. France won. But the main segment in the year-end special was a scary look at the anti-abortion movement. Our correspondent, Louis Theroux, spent a weekend with an anti-abortion activist, Roy McMillan, in Jackson, Mississippi. Roy took Louis to the abortion clinic where he harasses women as they walk in the door. Roy explained that he felt it was morally correct to do whatever is necessary to protect the rights of the unborn. When Louis asked, "Do you think it's justifiable homicide to execute the president?" Roy replied, and I quote, "I think he's probably in harm's way by acknowledging and endorsing the killing. It would probably, to me, be more justifiable to assassinate the Supreme Court judges." Those comments are allegedly a violation of the law. It is a felony to issue a real or implied threat against the President of the United States. We thought that the Secret Service might arrest Roy McMillan once they saw the show. Early on in production, NBC gave the go-ahead, even though the network was concerned with the controversial nature of the story. But just days before the year-end special was to air, the network called to say that all the sponsors had pulled out. None of them wanted any of their ads next to the segment dealing with abortion. NBC tried to find advertisers who would be willing to take the risk, but there were none. It was the week before Christmas, and we found it impossible to save the segment. NBC told us that they could not air a show without commercials, though to their credit, they had courageously done so with a TV movie a few years back called Roe v. Wade. We relented, and the segment was pulled from the show. 2 days after the special aired, a young man named John Salvey III, who considered himself part of the extreme end of the anti-abortion movement, went into 2 clinics in Brookline, Massachusetts, and shot 4 clinic workers, killing 2 of them. We wondered, would this man have been as brazen if he had seen a spokesman of his cause being taken away in handcuffs on television the night before? That is the effect one hopes for in arresting an alleged criminal, to dissuade others from committing crimes. The Secret Service called us and demanded a copy of our censored segment. We are not in the business of gathering evidence for the police and did not provide the segment to them. If we didn't have a broadcasting system where advertisers have the power to get a piece killed, the Secret Service would already have their own copy, compliments of their own VCR. The special did air uncensored in the United Kingdom, so the feds contacted the BBC, who seemed more than happy to assist the American government. Here are some of the other stories that were censored and never aired. The Savings and Loan Scandal. Did you ever wonder what happened to all those men who ran the savings and loan institutions in the 80s? Their negligent, often criminal behavior resulted in their customers and the taxpayers losing billions of dollars. We wanted to know, did they ever go to jail? Did they have to make reparations? What we discovered is that the majority served no prison time and, in fact, have prospered long after their clients went bankrupt. They even formed a support group to help each other cope with the public's negative perception toward them. Pam Yates, a TV Nation producer, convinced these men and women to let us film their support group meeting and to hang out with them at their new jobs. Many are millionaires once again. This segment was an incredible piece of television. If you weren't laughing, you wanted to punch the TV. There was only one problem. The American public never got to see this segment. For some unexplained reason, Fox told us it could not air. Their only attempted explanation was that the SNL scandal was old news and that our mention of the former presidents Reagan and Bush would not interest their young adult and teen demographic. We wondered if the SNL executives we filmed had second thoughts and called the Fox network to put a stop to the segment. Columbia TriStar, which was committed to placing all the censored segments on various volumes of the TV Nation home video, has informed us that this is the one censored segment they will not place on the videos. Another censored segment was Gay Bashing in Topeka. As described in my book, Downsize This, there's a high school in Topeka, Kansas that gave extra credit to a student who picketed the funerals of people who had died of AIDS, holding up a sign which read, "God hates fags." We sent our crew to Topeka to do a story on this student and his family. The entire Klan demonstrates and pickets anyone they suspect of being homosexual. It was both weird and frightening. The Fox network told us that gay issues scare advertisers away. They allowed us to do one gay story, our Love Night Serenade to Jesse Helms, and then they drew the line. Perhaps our favorite censored segment was the one on small condoms. Until a few years ago, condoms always came in one size, regular, or one size fits all. Then, suddenly, there appeared a new size of condom on the pharmacy shelves. Extra large. Magnum. Max. Leave it to a product designed by and for men that we come up with only these two sizes, regular and extra large. But what about that other all-important size, small? Why are there no small-size condoms? We sent our guest reporter and old friend from Flint, Ben Hamper, author of Rivethead, to various drugstores around New York City to ask them if they had any small-size condoms. The responses Ben got included shock, hysterics, disbelief, and confusion. After seeing the footage, we were convinced that this was an entertaining way to talk about condoms. NBC, and later Fox, did not see it that way. When we showed the finished segment to the suits at NBC, one of them told us that, "If we air this, we'll lose affiliates in the South." "Why the South?" we asked. "Because you cannot conjure up the image of a small penis on network television for a full 7 minutes and expect people in the South to watch it." "But," I protested, "they're airing it on the BBC in England." "Exactly my point." Now that was some logic. We were also told that because our show aired in the family hour, we would not be allowed to say the word condom so many times. We felt that talking about condoms should happen in the family hour. Both networks disagreed. Meanwhile, one out of every 100 people on this planet is infected with HIV. There was one story we did that aired, except for one small piece that was censored, reenacting the LA riots. Have you ever been to a 4th of July celebration and watched a group of grown men reenact Civil War battles in full period costume? Everyone seems to have a good time rooting for the blue or the gray and cheering the spectacle. Maybe the reason this all seems like fun is that the Civil War was a long time ago and none of us know any of the 600,000 people who lost their lives. But would all of this be just as entertaining if it were a bunch of guys reenacting a more recent war? We asked a group of Civil War reenactors if they would, in full uniform, engage in battles which occurred not so long ago. They agreed, and before a group of happy picnickers, they reenacted the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima. We rented a World War II bomber and flew it over the soldiers, and they all dropped dead. We then asked them to reenact the bombing of Nagasaki. Same thing. After that, they reenacted the fall of Saigon. The Fox Network hated this. But after much wrangling and a promise by me to make it clear in my narrated introduction that I too thought that this was sick, they agreed to air three sections of it. But they refused to air the final piece of war reenactment night, the Civil War veterans staging the Los Angeles riots. We shot it in three parts, the beating of Rodney King, the Simi Valley jury finding the police not guilty, and the ensuing uprising. This simulation made the network executives very uneasy. Of course, they all live in Los Angeles. Satirizing the slaughter of a couple hundred thousand Japanese was passable, but to take on the racial situation in L.A., whoa, turn off the television. This section of our war reenactment segment did not air. For the most part, we found that when we stood our ground and insisted that our stories run intact, they did. Perhaps all too often in Hollywood, producers cave in when they don't need to. It's not that they are afraid of the network brass, it's just that the suits can wear you down and giving in is the easiest thing to do. The most important thing we learned is that everything you see on network television has already been seen and approved by some advertiser who is buying time on that show. They actually view and approve, or censor, the shows before they air. We also learned that the reasons for television censorship are not just because of sex and violence and language. Sometimes ideas are just too dangerous to air.